It's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to answer your questions about the great outdoors. Call in now at 888-898-2525 and join SC Wild on the Sports Talk Media Network.
And we do welcome in Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources tonight here on Sports Talk, and he'll have a special guest in just a moment and a topic to kick around. Major, good evening, sir. Oh, I thought we were getting feedback. What's that, Major? I couldn't hear you.
That's not feedback. That's the sound of waterfowl because it's waterfowl season.
Give us that one more time. I talked over. Give it to us one more time.
You want to talk over?
Yeah,
right, here we go.
Go.
There you go.
That's awesome.
That's just for you, Phil.
Great to
enjoy that.
Well, you've gotten so good over the years at handling that device. I'm impressed.
Yes, thank you. Yes, it's waterfowl season. That's a duck call. For those of you that don't know what you're listening to, that would be a duck call. For most of us, it is the eve of waterfowl season. Very quickly here in just another day or two, we'll be into waterfowl season starting November 23rd, what we call the Thanksgiving season, going through November the 30th. So this Saturday through the next Saturday is what we're looking at. So it's going to be a good day, good weekend. Get some colder weather. It's going to make it really feel like waterfowl season. So it's going to be dipping into the 30s in the evening, in the morning. So that'll be nice and cold, and maybe we'll get a nice little last push of ducks with this little front moving through.
Mm. It'll feel like waterfowl season out there to you, won't it?
Yes, it'll feel cold. It's going to be a lot better than the 80 degrees we've been having lately. So, absolutely. But, again, yes, waterfowl season does begin this Saturday. We're going to bring in as a guest in just a moment here, Molly Nee. She's been on the show a lot. She's our state waterfowl project leader, and it will give us some information about what she's seen on the coast. I know a lot of folks like to know what's going on the coast, what we have as far as waterfowl sightings, kind of what's on our coastal areas. But before we get into that real quick, just want to talk about the waterfowl season in general. Again, this first season, what we traditionally call the Thanksgiving season, runs from Saturday, November 23rd, to Saturday, November 30th. That is the first season. And then it will reopen in December on the 12th. December the 12th, that's actually a Thursday, and will run through January 31st, which is a Friday. Hmm. So the last of January. So again, it opens up on December 12th, runs through January 31st in the second season. So as far as what are the limits this year? Still six total. Not to include more than four of the following, four mallards, no more than two hens. So most people want to know, what's the mallard limit? It's four mallards, not to include more than two hens. It also has, you can have three wood ducks. So our three wood duck limit continues. For those that have hunted for a long time, you remember the days when it was only two. Well, now it's three. It's been three for a long time now, several years, and we're continuing to hold that three. So a lot of opportunity there in South Carolina for hunters in backwater areas. If you can find water, it's been so dry. We have had some rain recently, so maybe some beaver ponds are getting flooded again. But that's going to be a problem for a lot of waterfowlers out there, is finding water to hunt ducks if you're not hunting on a lake or in a man-made impoundment pumping water. And even if you are in a man-made impoundment, the dry weather has really made it tough to fill these ponds up. So a lot of challenges out there in the next, getting ready for waterfowl season. Again, not to include two of the following, redheads. So you can shoot two redheads. Scalp is two per day this first season. And then when we get to the second season, it will go through this 12th through the 22nd. So basically the first 10 days of the second season, and then it's going to go to one per day for the remainder of the season. We'll cover more of that when we get to that time. But for right now, for first season, two redheads, two scalp, which are two bluebills, and one two canvasbacks this year. So two canvasbacks as well, including not more than one of the following. So pintails are back to one. So one pintail, one fulvous whistling duck, one black-bellied whistling duck, And again, for black ducks or mottled ducks, remember on black ducks, the limits as follows for areas east and south of Interstate 95, one black or one mottled duck in the bag. For areas west and north of Interstate 95, two black ducks or one black duck and one mottled duck in the total bag. So just to explain that, we used to have the old season where we'd say 4 mallards not to include more than one brown duck. And that brown duck meant a mallard hen, a black duck, or a mottled duck. Well, we've changed. We're trusting waterfowlers to know more about what they're hunting, to know how to identify better. And so it gives you a little bit better. So you could have two mallards, two mallard drakes, two hen mallards for four or your mallard duck limit. And then you could have, you could, west of 95, have two black ducks in the limit as well. You're not going to see mottled ducks for the most part west of 95. We can talk a little bit about with Molly when she gets on. But typically, your one black duck or one mottled duck east of 95 is protecting our mottled duck population on the coast so that folks don't mistake, because mottled ducks and black ducks look very similar at quick glance. So that's something to be careful about. That's why it's only a black duck or a mottled duck. But you can kill four mallards and a black duck anywhere in the state. Four mallards and a mottled duck anywhere in the state. You can kill four mallards and two black ducks only west and north of Interstate 95. So it's just a little quick. But for the most part, it's six ducks, six teal, widgeon, gadwall, your typicals. Everybody knows those ducks. Your really limits your three wood ducks, two redheads, two scaup, most your bluebills, two canvasback, one pintail, and then your whistling ducks, one of each. So that is where we are for the season. Do we have Molly on yet?
We do. She is standing
right,
by.
Let's bring her on.
Hey, Major Downer. Good to be on with you.
Hey, Molly. How are you?
Good.
Great to have you. Great to have you with us. I was just going over the limit, and, you know, in the old days, it was one brown duck. I was explaining that out. You know, we are trusting waterfowlers to be more – to understand what they're shooting, to know, identify better, so they can shoot four mallards, which could include two hens, and a black duck east of 95 on the coast, or a mottled duck. And west of 95, technically, they could shoot four mallards, two greenheads, two hens, and two black ducks, if they were so lucky.
That's right. I think that's the hunt we all dream about.
It is the hunt we all dream about. So let's talk about for a minute on the coast mottled ducks. Talk about our mottled duck population. Just give us a quick update on that. Where we are with
Absolutely.
That.
Really, really cool birds for us here in South Carolina. You know, historically, we didn't have mottled ducks here in the state. And they were released in the late 70s and early 80s, right about 1,200 of them. And so they've done really well in our coastal areas and our tidal areas. They tend to kind of stick to flooded impoundments on the coast. So most of the places where you're going to see widgeon grass growing and spike rush, like a hunt at Bear Island or Santee Coastal Reserve. But populations are doing really well. To have released 1,200 of them in the late 70s and early 80s, you know, we estimate our population right now right around about 20,000. And so they're doing really, really well. And so that one mottled duck limit is to kind of protect that population, keep us within some good, safe bounds there, make sure those mottled ducks keep reproducing. There's plenty of them along the coast for us to enjoy for a long time. So. So really, really cool birds. Like I said, kind of stick to the tidal areas that kind of mimic the Gulf Coast with kind of a lesser tidal range. That's where they kind of hang out here in South Carolina, but originally from the Gulf Coast. So really, really cool birds. Look a lot like black ducks, but a good bit smaller and a little more kind of a honey color to them than those black ducks. So when you get a black duck and a mottled duck in your hand, they're really cool to kind of sit back and compare and take a good look at. They, when you can put them side by side, they're pretty obvious differences between the two of them. So, but really enjoyed by our coastal hunters, and they're one of my favorites myself. So.
They are. I enjoy them. And we've been doing a lot of banding in the last, decade, really kind of to, if I remember right, Molly, help me on this, to really kind of check our population, so to speak.
That is correct. You know, up until the last decade, it wasn't really a whole lot that we knew about these birds in South Carolina. We knew that their populations were kind of expanding in our coastal zones, but didn't know a whole lot about them. So we've done a lot of banding to kind of keep a check on those populations. We try to band about 300 model ducks along the coast every year, and done a lot of research on them, looking at where they like to nest, where they like to take their broods. And, you know, we've really seen that our tidal impoundments, like I said, like Sandy Coastal Reserve and Bear Island type habitats are really critical for those birds here in South Carolina. So, but banding's our number one metric that we use to kind of assess how things are doing. And so, bird populations for model ducks are looking really well for us. So.
And so they nest, they're very specific nesters. I remember that from Dean Harrigal's class on waterfowl for Billy Downer. they nest on points. They like to nest on points, very specific. I know folks have tried those mallard nesting structures. Those really didn't work out too well. But they have nonetheless done very well here. And I remember when they first started doing the banding and they started realizing that our population was upwards of 20,000, how surprised even Dean was. He was very pleased at how well they had done here. And I know this, for those that might be getting a chance to go to one of our public waterfowl hunts on the coast, like Molly said, the Santee Coastal Reserve, any of the different areas there, Bear Island, you got a really good chance if you shoot a model duck of shooting a banded bird. So that's really cool.
Definitely.
So Molly, let's talk about what are you seeing right now on the coast? What kind of update can you give us as far as bird population right now?
Yeah, in the past couple of weeks, I've spent a lot of time between Bear Island and Santee Coastal Reserve, kind of Georgetown counties, down all the way down through Colleton, and things are looking really promising. You know, we've got really good bird numbers around Georgetown and Charleston counties, and bird numbers seem to be on the increase down around Colleton and Beaufort as well. I'm kind of hoping that with this cool weather we've got pushing through, we'll get a couple local pushes of birds to kind of push some. A few more birds down to our Ace Basin folks, but things are looking really good. And I'd imagine with that really beautiful full moon we had this past weekend, there was a lot of birds moving at night and probably redistributed a little bit. But you know, if I'm a coastal waterfowl hunter, I'm pretty excited based off what I've been seeing here in the past couple weeks. You know, I live up on the Black River in Georgetown County, and it's been pretty common in the past couple days to see a bunch of birds trading around in the evening as well, which is something I don't see a ton of this early in the season, but I've been pretty optimistic based off of kind of local movements around the house here in the evening too. So I'm excited to get out Saturday and get after it myself.
Absolutely. So tell me this, what types of birds have you seen on the coast in big numbers? Of course, usually always green-winged teal.
Yep. I'm seeing a lot of blue wings moving around. It seemed that our blue wings kind of came in a little later this fall, but good numbers of blue wings hanging around right now. Already seeing numbers of green wings, which I would expect only increase for us up through Christmas. Good numbers of pintails in areas I'm seeing. Gadwall. I saw some really, really pretty widgeon down at Bear Island last week too, which you know, it's a little unusual to see fully plumed out widgeon this early in the season, but some really, really nice widgeon hanging around as well. You know, if you like birds that decoy really easily and really well, you know, you can't hate on your shovelers too much. So plenty of shovelers hanging around. But good yeah. Mixed bag of birds. I think hunters will be real excited and I'll be real pleased with the numbers that we have on the coast at this time of the year.
I would think gadwall would be gadwall always decoys so fun. It's just so fun to watch them. I mean, I don't mind hunting and watching gadwall suck in at all. It doesn't bother me in the least.
Absolutely. They are one of my favorites. So,
yeah.
One of my favorites.
Beep, 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 beep. But, yeah, the pintail numbers look like they're strong again, so that's a great indicator. Thanks for sharing that. Folks going on the coast, that's kind of one of those prize ducks for folks. Mr. Tuxedo getting a chance to take a pintail in full plume is really special. So glad to hear their numbers are up. Molly, what are you seeing as far as water? The coast not really hinging on that water because you've got the coastal water, the floodplain, but backwater areas, what are you seeing there?
you know, backwater areas, I'm seeing a lot of places that are really dry. Kind of like you said, there's a lot of places that unless you're pumping, you know, you're going to be looking hard for water. And a lot of places that are pumping are really having to pump to keep their water so far this year. So, you know, if you're a public land hunter, there's a lot of ground to cover, but you're probably going to have to put in some extra steps to find that backwater where we're holding some birds on public ground. So, really, really dry across the state, which is what I've noticed in the past month. You know, we got a little bit of relief with some rain in the past week or two, but by and large, you know, really dry out there, and we really need some good rain to fill up some of these backwater areas. You know, the full moon on the coast this weekend, you know, we got a big high tides, big king tides, and have water back up kind of high in some areas along the coast and some of these impoundments. So waiting on some good tides in some places so these guys can get water back down to good duck level where we like it. But I've seen some good tides today up in Georgetown County, so hopefully that water's coming on down. So a little too much water because of the moon here on the coast and dry inland. But, you know, waterfowl hunting is one of those things. We definitely always have to work for it, and I think that's one of the reasons people love it so much is the reward can be great. So
absolutely. So, Molly, we've talked a lot about Category 1 areas. When we talk about the coast, Bear Island, Santee Coastal Reserve, Category 2 areas are areas where folks can walk in if they have a WMA permit. And our number one, or probably our most popular, would be Hickory Top. Do you? I know we started flooding that. Do you know have you heard anything on the as far as updates on that?
I haven't heard many updates from there, but that's an area, you know, that once we get water on it, you know, the wood ducks always kind of respond really well for us. It's a unique hunt, good mass bearing trees in there. It's, you know, definitely our most popular Category 2 area. And so, you know, if people go in and they're hunting there this year, you know, be on the lookout. We got some survey cards out trying to get some feedback from people on what they think about that hunt, what they enjoy about it, maybe look for some ways to kind of improve that going forward. So, but always a good wood duck producer for us, and it's a fun about as close as you can get to Arkansas timber here in South Carolina.
Well, you know, absolutely, it's the only water around. So if there's water in there, there's going to be some wood ducks or a lot of wood ducks. It's where my kids grew up back in the early days of that green tree. We just had a really good time in there. Just seems like a lot of people enjoying it now, and it'd be interesting to see what folks say about what we could do to improve that. I think we all will and wish we could snap our fingers and make more of those, but it's so hard to find areas with mass oaks like that
that
you can flood, this level enough to flood to make a big enough area for people to hunt. I think that's one of the challenges that folks don't realize when you look at something like Hickory Top. Why can't we have more of these? Well, it's because you have to have ability to flood. You have to have water where you can pump. And you've got to have a lot of land that's fairly level with mass oak trees. And that's sometimes can be a hard recipe to put together.
That's right. Definitely a unique spot for us right there. And, you know, people definitely enjoy it. It's definitely our most highly used Category 2 area. But we've got some other ones scattered across the landscape out there, too, that seem to be gaining in popularity. So,
so I will say this because I can't. It's a double negative. I can't not mention this. Lake Marion this past summer, I saw something that made me smile. And I mentioned it before, but I saw hydrilla in places I haven't seen hydrilla in years. And hydrilla is a favorite feeding area for ringnecks, divers, and ducks. Widgeon loved to feed behind the ringnecks when they were stirring things up. Gadwall as well.
That's right.
Almost all the ducks did, and I am seeing hydrilla get on the lake, so I'm interested to see if we'll see a push of birds back in public water again where people may have a chance to duck hunt on the lake where it's just been barren for a long time. So kind of interested to see that. So, folks, if you're out there this season hunting, look for that grass. If you can find that hydrilla grass in beds, might be a good place to sit because you might find some ducks on it. So it's been fun to see that again. And as it continues to grow and thrive, maybe we'll get some more ducks out there on public water. At least my hope.
That's right. That's right. So always good to see grass on the lake.
Absolutely. So Molly, if you were going to, you know, put it to what's the top thing, if you're going to duck hunt and waterfowl management in this state. We're talking about waterfowl management. What's the top thing we're trying to do here to better our wintering habitat for waterfowl?
You know, one of the things that we're definitely doing on our state area is something that we've always done. You know, one of the keys to having birds here in the South is to controlling your pressure. And that's one of the things that makes our, I think, our Category 1 area so valuable is that we ride a line of, you know, we hunt and provide as much opportunity as we can, but we also, you know, provide good refuge and rest days where those birds aren't disturbed. They can come in and feed. They feel good and safe there again. So, you know, we really try to maximize our season as much as we can to provide quality hunts for the public on those areas, you know, just by allowing those birds a place to refuge and feel safe. The other thing we try to do is, you know, we're trying to maximize our food potential everywhere we have. You know, in the past couple of years, I've really been stressing production of natural foods for our biologists that are on the ground and managing these areas. You know, natural foods such as smart weeds and various grasses are real resilient to some of these big fall weather events that we get that may right. blow down our corn and cause corn to flood or rice, different issues with rice. And so I'm really encouraged with habitat across the state this year with the amount of natural vegetation that's really beneficial for waterfowl. Just the abundance of that along with our prey and egg crops that we also try to provide for our ducks. So, you know, as you're out and about and you're scouting, you're looking in our Cat 2 areas or other public areas that you may be hunting, you know, don't overlook those natural foods. They can be really, really important food sources for you and good areas to kind of locate birds. So.
Absolutely. And as the water drops in the lake, as it tends to do in the wintertime, one of the things I always like to find is that shallow water where you've got sedges there and those little sedge grasses.
Right.
You get lots of teal in there. And as that water begins to recede, you can find those ducks feeding in that really shallow area. It may not be a couple inches deep, but that's all they need.
That's
but,
right.
But Molly, thank you for joining us tonight. I'm going to cover a few rules before we go, Phil. So, some
sure.
of the things I want to talk about, just to remind folks as we get ready for waterfowl season, what are you required to have? You're required to have a state hunting license. You're required to have a state migratory bird, the federal migratory bird permit, which is free. You're required to have your federal waterfowl stamp, which is in addition to your state just hunting license, your migratory bird permit, which is free, the old HIP permit, then you have to have your federal waterfowl stamp, as well as the duck stamp, the state duck stamp. So a couple things to always remember. We get confused on stamps a lot of times and what you got to have, but your hunting license, your migratory bird permit, which is like the old HIP permit, your state duck stamp or the state migratory waterfowl permit, and your e-federal duck stamp. All that can be purchased on your phone. You can purchase it right now tonight. You don't have to go anywhere to buy it. Your license, your e-federal duck stamp will be mailed to you within 45 days. But you have to have all that in your possession, you know, all those things. And you can have them loaded on your phone to show it on your phone. So we do accept an electronic federal duck stamp. No longer do you have to sign them anymore. The old days are gone. As long as you can show it on your phone, that's the main thing. Remember, when you go hunting, you have to have a plug in your gun that keeps your gun from having more than 3 shells, and you have to have approved non-toxic shot, the old steel shot, a variety of other shells, tungsten loads, bismuth, and different matrices that have been put together that have been approved by the federal government. So approved non-toxic shot, again, a plug gun, a gun incapable of carrying more than 3 shells. So that's really the main rules. And if you're out hunting on public water, always look around where you're hunting. Check and see if you see corn or something in the water. Check when you're setting up. It's just good due diligence to do that, to make sure you're not walking in somebody's area that somebody tried to bait. Because baiting is illegal, we all know that. But again, big thing for this weekend, just be careful where you set up. Remember, everyone's out there enjoying hunting, and there's no set distances. So try to put yourself away from others. And don't fuss at people. They're coming in late, trying to find a place to hunt. It's not worth getting over a fight over it. We have that happen every year. But again, establish a safe zone of fire. Know where you're going to shoot. And don't let people set up too close to you where you would shoot their direction.
And look out for Bigfoot.
Look out for Bigfoot.
He's out
That's
there,
it.
You know. He's out there.
One more before we go, Phil.
Awesome. You have a great Thanksgiving, and everybody at DNR have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you, Major. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. That'll do it. SC Wild from DNR and Sports Talk, Sports Talk Media Network. We'll see you tomorrow.